Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, 4th chapter, starting with the first verse. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the end of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read with me inside your bulletin the catechetical review on the third article, Sanctification. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Our epistle reading this morning is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, starting with the first verse. And you were dead in the trespasses of sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love for which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages we might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Alleluia. This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 18. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. I'd like to ask the children to come down front and join me. In fact, let's go over by the baptismal font. That's always a good place to be. Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? So, when you're dirty, what do? At home? You gotta take a bath, right? Yeah. Mom and Dad, maybe Grandpa and Grandma, yeah, you know.
Also, mm-hmm. Take a
shower. Yeah, take a shower, take a bath, yeah. So that's what we do when we're dirty, right? So.
And also when we're stinky.
And also when we're stinky, that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. So. Now, you know, can you imagine this? You guys, which one of you guys likes to play outdoors? Who likes to play outside? Okay. Okay, you're not so much an outdoor. Okay, that's all right. Well, now, when you guys are outside, when we're outside, and, you know, like Vicar, when he's outside and I'm cutting the grass and I'm working out in the yard, I need a shower too, and I get stinky and all that kind of stuff too, right? I need to clean up. So when you guys are outside and you're playing in the dirt and everything, what happens?
You get stinky and you get dirty and you get messy
and you have to come in and you have to take a bath, right? Mom and Dad will say, you need to wash that off of you and take a bath, right? You clean yourself up. Now, when you and I come in here to church, though, and we do something during the week and we disobey Mom and Dad or something like that, we don't listen to what Mom and Dad say. By the way, what commandment is that when we aren't listening to Mom and Dad? Do you remember? The fourth, that's right. Yeah.
I haven't been here very long.
That's okay. That's all right. The fourth commandment, and we don't listen to what Mom and Dad tell us to do, and that's a sin.
And so sometimes when we come into church, we feel that sin, and we're feeling sad about what we did, and we carry that sin with us. And you know what? We can't wash that off of ourselves. We can't do that. We can't make ourselves good. We can't make ourselves better. But you know who did that for us? Jesus, that's right. Jesus did that. He washed you clean. He gave you a bath. He cleaned you up. And because of that, then he said, you are now just like you were never dirty, like you never had that sin on you. You're clean. And you know where we have those promises delivered to us? Right here in this water, in the waters of baptism, right there. Jesus delivered those promises to us, and he washed us clean in these waters with his word. And he continues to strengthen us and help us to do better and to listen to our moms and dads and all those things. All right. Well, shall we pray? Let's do that. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have washed us clean. And because of our baptism, we belong to you. And no one can snatch us out of your hand. We belong to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You guys can go back to your seats. Thank you. We continue with our sermon hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Those words are carved right here on the desk of the pulpit so that when Pastor and I are up here and we see this, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. It's a reminder to Pastor and I of this office, of this responsibility of preaching Christ and Him crucified for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, as He continues to strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith. As Pastor said earlier this morning, this is the third series, the third sermon, rather, in a series of four that we've been preaching and teaching on the liturgy. Now, we know again that the liturgy, the way that we do the liturgy and all of those things and this wonderful gift that we have of the divine service, it will not save us. It will not, that it will not do for us. And we know that it doesn't have to be perfect. Mistakes are made and all of those kind of things. But we know that within this framework of the divine service, this is where God brings His good gifts to you and I, that once again we hear forgiveness of sin preached in our ears. When we came in here this morning, the first thing that we did was with our invocation, we said in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we do that because that is a reminder to all of us that we belong to Jesus, that we have been baptized into Christ. The next thing that happens then is that we confess our sins together, and the pastor once again speaks the words of absolution over us as if from Christ Himself, that your sins are forgiven, that my sins are forgiven. And then we pray. The next thing that we have is we pray one of the most ancient prayers of the church, and that is the Kyrie, where we cry out to God again, Lord, have mercy, as we continue to petition Him and ask Him to give all of the things that we still need to support us in this body and life. The response to the Kyrie then, of course, is in the Gloria, or in the This is the Feast, as we sang once again today, where that is our response, that we know that because it is because of Christ alone and what He did for us, that He does continue to mercy us and give us what we need. This is really good news for us. And here today, then, we come to the sermon. This is the high point in our liturgy, one of the high points, where now we hear the preaching and the proclamation of God's word as we move to partaking of the Holy Supper. Today, we heard the word, the Holy Scripture spoken to us in the Old Testament. We heard the psalm once again. In our intro it, we heard the epistle reading and then the gospel. And now, here we are at the sermon. So we Lutherans, we talk about law and gospel. In fact, we might say that this is in our DNA. And this is what really distinguishes us from other church bodies and other doctrinal beliefs even. And the thing about it isn't really some lofty theological concept either. It's pretty basic. In fact, simply put, it's the law and gospel is God graciously intervening in a sin-sick world to preach a word, and by that word, to awaken the dying to a life everlasting. You and I are constantly confronted by the law. It crushes us. In fact, when we look at the Ten Commandments, we know that we violated these ordinances of a righteous God and what He demands of us. We see the ugliness of our sins. We have certainly not done what God commands, and we have certainly left other things undone. The law will not save us. And what it does is it shows us our need for a Savior. And that, dear friends, is the gospel good news, that Christ came and did what you and I were incapable of doing, and that is to live the law perfectly, to live a perfect life. Jesus came and took our place. He took on the punishment that we deserve because of our sins. He did this because of his great mercy and love toward the entire world, that he would give himself for the sins of all. The Jesus in flesh for you that died and rose again, for you, so that you can have peace with God. And you belong to him as a baptized child. He holds you in his hand. No one, no thing will be able to snatch you away from him. Dear Christian, when you are in despair because of the heaviness of your sin, Christ died for those. Remember that. When you doubt that you have been forgiven all of your sins, and that surely he won't forgive you of that sin because that sin is so heinous, how could he ever do that? He died for that sin too. And he continues to forgive you of that sin. St. Paul reminds us once again in Romans chapter 8 that there is nothing in heaven and on earth that can separate us from the love of Christ in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. This is Christ for you. So when you are listening to a sermon, you should be listening for Christ for you and the forgiveness of sins won for you on his cross and delivered to you there in the waters of baptism. Now, when Pastor and myself or anyone else is preaching from this pulpit, we preach Christ crucified, Jesus for you. In fact, in Galatians 1, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul says this to the church in Galatia. He wrote, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." Dear friends, when Pastor and I and anyone else, we prepare for sermons, of course, we do some careful study. We spend time in God's Word. And in the sermon, you will see that we preach God's word to you. You hear the text for you. This is what God's word says. We don't get to subject God's word to our own reason and understanding. Preaching the text in its context. This is really important for us as we grapple with passages of Scripture that can be difficult for all of us. But we still don't subject it to our own interpretation and our own reasoning. One of the gifts of the church we have is that the lectionary, we use the lectionary here at Divine Shepherd, we use the one-year lectionary, and we hear the word preached to us constantly, selected readings from week to week. We don't choose that. We follow that. It's our preaching is shaped by God's word and not the other way around. I don't get to stand up here this morning and tell you what I think you should do to live your best life now. I don't get to tell you that if you just pray harder and you read a few more books and spend more time in God's word and do all of these things that you need to do, that you're going to have a better week and you're going to do better. Because it's all about you and what you need to do. No, dear saints. This is not what you will hear in this pulpit. For this life that you and I live in this place, in this fallen world, is one of suffering and affliction. It's because of this sinful world of which we are part. We battle daily against not only the devil, but the world and our own flesh. If we try to rely on ourselves in this endeavor by trying to be more good, it will only lead to further and further despair. There is no one good of which the scriptures are very clear. The one who is truly good and righteous came and died for you. So over time, pastors, as your pastor here, gets to know the maladies, that is the particular sins that the people of his flock are dealing with. And in his preaching and in his proclamation of God's word, pastor and myself, we try to keep this in mind as we bring the text of scripture into your life today. God works through the preacher's labor. God speaks to you through these words that are proclaimed to you. And most importantly, we preach Christ doing what he promised to do with these words through his Son, Jesus Christ. Through the words of the sermon, God works forgiveness of sins, and he continues to strengthen your faith. Look at the gospel reading today. Here's the Pharisee. He's standing there, and he's boasting of his self-righteousness. He can't help but brag about himself and how wonderful he is in his almsgiving and all of the other things that he's doing. And by the way, God, I'm really glad that I'm not like that guy over there, that tax collector. You know, the Pharisee is so convinced of himself and in his self-righteousness, he saved himself. He's become his own God. And in fact, his prayer really isn't a prayer. It's just that he was standing there boasting about how wonderful and fantastic he really is. He made himself his own God. Now contrast that with the poor, miserable tax collector, who maybe we can see him standing off behind a column somewhere so that he can't even be seen. Standing back in the shadow somewhere, he won't even lift his eyes to heaven. And he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, as he pounds on his chest. That is the gospel good news for you and I today, dear saints, because Jesus said in that parable that who do you think was the one that went home justified? It was that tax collector who knew he had faith. He had that faith in a merciful God who would continue to forgive him of his sins. He was the one that went home justified. God is merciful and he has forgiven us our sins. Law, living a good life, it will not save us. We try to live by the law, it will only crush us. You and I are poor, miserable sinners like this tax collector. To think like the Pharisee here, that we can fashion ourselves into something righteous that God will be pleased with on our own, well, that's only going to lead us to further and further despair. No, dear saints, today our prayer continues to be, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the gospel good news is that he is merciful to you. He continues to forgive you. He continues to increase your faith. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. And now as we prepare here today for his holy supper, we know that in this supper, once again, we have Christ's body and blood given for you and shed for you and for me. And in that, we see once again Jesus for us in the proclamation of his word, and here again in his holy supper. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.